Did you happen to hear the story about the little boy who came over to the preacher's house? The preacher was brand new in town, just moved into the parsonage, and he was out setting up some sawhorses and some hammer and nails, had some shingles, and he was making a doghouse for his little dog. And so this preacher, he introduces himself and to the little boy, and the little boy just kind of nods, doesn't say a word. And so the preacher just kind of kept right on working, just figured the boy was just kind of, you know, admiring his work. And finally, the preacher asked the boy, he said, "Now, are you trying to learn how to build a doghouse?" And the little boy said, "Oh, no, I just want to see what the preacher says whenever he hits his thumb with a hammer." You ever been there? You know, middle of the night, stub your toe or something, or burn yourself on a pan, and you say glory or something, right? Whenever I was in high school, I actually saw a preacher get his finger hit with a hammer. I went to Van Buren High School, not the Van Buren that's north of us, but Van Buren, which is in Brazil, and there by Terre Haute. I was in this building trades group. In fact, the two summers before that, I built houses in the summer. I framed and did some different things, did a little electrical. But it was Van Buren High School, and it was Brazil, and we also had some Staunton boys that built this house together. But the guy who watched over us was a contractor by the name of Pastor Bill. And so he was also this Baptist pastor. Well, anyway, we were putting shingles on the roof, and one of the guys who played football for Brazil, which was a pretty good sized guy, he was nailing these roofing nails onto these shingles, and he was missing terribly. He'd start that nail and he'd hit it, and that nail would just go ding and it would just shoot off. And then he'd start another one and ding and it would shoot, another one ding and it would just shoot off. And Bill, he was getting kind of, you know, a little bit frustrated watching Randy do that. And so anyways, he said, "Now let me show you how to hammer a nail." And so he takes the hammer away from me and he starts the nail and he taps it a couple times and he hits it, you know, like once or twice and sends that nail right in there. And he said, "Now that's how you do it." So he said, "Now Randy, I want you to do it." So he gives Randy the nail and he starts that nail and goes, and all his face just turns red, and he said, "Now this is how you do. You just hit it straight on," and it shows him again. And so he gives the nail back to Randy, and Randy starts the nail, and just as he was aiming, Randy must have took just a little bit longer than he should have to hit that nail, because Pastor Bill, he kind of got, you know, a little bit anxious, and he said, "Now Randy," he said, "hit that nail right there on the head." Just as he was pointing that finger, sticking it over the head of the nail, Randy comes down, takes his fingernail clean off his finger, and it doesn't do the end of his finger any good either. But it was really funny, because Pastor Billy takes that hand and he shoves it in his coat, and down the ladder he goes into his office, and he stays there for about an hour, but not a word. He doesn't say a word in that whole time. And then finally, he eventually comes out, and we're thinking, "Oh boy, Randy is going to get it," you know. And Pastor Bill had his finger all bandaged up, and he calls Randy over to him. And of course, we're all laughing and listening. And Bill looked at him, and he said, "Son," he said, "it wasn't your fault." He said, "You know, I should have known better. I wasn't watching what I was doing. It's okay." And then he said, "But you still have to learn how to hammer a nail," as he shook that bandaged finger at him. But you know, that day, our building trades instructor, Preacher Bill, showed us what grace looked like, what compassion looked like, what being a Christian looked like. You know, I never attended his church. I've never heard that man preach, but I want to tell you what, that was probably one of the best sermons I think I'd ever experienced as a young person, whenever he took and he looked Randy in the eyes and he said, "It's not your fault, son. I wasn't watching what I was doing. If anyone's at fault, it's me." You see, I believe that's just what Jesus meant, what he was talking about whenever he said for us to be the light of his world. And this thing also goes forward, doesn't it? Yes. There we go. Every day, whether we recognize it or not, people do notice who we are, and people do pay attention to what we do. Every day, we give witness to what we believe and what we tell the world about what it means to be a person of faith, whether we intend to or not. See, our actions, the words we speak, our motives, our deeds impact others. And Jesus knew this. Jesus knew that God made us to live in community with one another and to be the light of our world and to be in relationship with each other and in our relationships to be light, His light. You see, if we're ever going to change the world for Christ, it's going to come out of how we live our lives in relationship with one another in this community, in this setting, and beyond. How we care for one another in the church. How we're there for those who are hurting or those who are alone or those who've just lost their way. How we're there for our friends, our family, for our neighbors, no matter what they're really into. You see, if we're ever going to make a difference for God's kingdom, it's going to come by the relationships we form and how we care for those who we come into contact with. And so this morning, what I'd like to do is to allow us to get to know each other just a little better. I want to share with you some of the closest relationships in my life. And I think you're going to discover early on in our ministry together that relationships are absolutely vital to me. But in the church, with us together, we are to be in this living, growing relationship with God and with one another. So what I want to do this morning is kind of just introduce you to my family. This is my wife, Susan. Some of you met her early on whenever she brought Micah in this morning. If you didn't get a chance to meet her, then she'll be here tonight. We've been married 38 years. We'll be married 39 years on August the 31st. We were high school sweethearts from about junior year on. And so we've been together for quite a while. We have three children, Matthew, Nathan, and Sarah. Our oldest son came a year and a week and a day after we were married. And boy, we were married young. I was 18 years old. Susan was 17 years old, married right out of high school. And we were just kids, and boy, that's not the way to do it. But oh my, we've worked, and we've worked, and thank God, it's only by God's grace that we've been able to just have this beautiful, beautiful life together. And certainly a very, very best friend. This was taken on Friday. This is up at Shipshawana. These are my grandkids, Micah and Ellie. Guardians of our grandchildren. Their mother, Sarah, lives in Fort Wayne right now. And as of January the 12th, we were awarded permanent guardianship, which means that nothing's permanent. But we're just caring for them, and we take them on as our own, and Mom stays into contact with them. But we've had some struggles, and you know, every family has some mess in it. You know, every family has those messy things, and your pastor has one of those families that has some mess in it. So keep us in your prayers, but Micah and Ellie are just two beautiful, beautiful children. This was whenever we were at the Outer Banks over vacation, and Micah wanted buried in the sand, and Ellie really thought that was fun. Yeah, here's just some more pictures. Now, Micah doesn't ride the bike yet. He has to learn how to ride a tricycle really well and then a bicycle before he starts riding this, but he's ready for it now. we'll see. this is my son, Matthew, and his wife, Tabitha, and our little granddaughter, Mary Dawn. And Mary was born on Mother's Day, just this last Mother's Day. And so she's just a wee little thing. We were blessed to be able to have to be able to do her baptism while we were on vacation. They live in Virginia Beach, and so we like to go and visit them, and of course take in the sights and all around there. And little Mary Dawn, she was like, I think she came out looking like that. You know, eyes wide open all the time. She's just as alert as can be. But she is a dear. This is out on their patio. This, the little pup dog there, that is Gracie. She is our Bashan Yorkie. She's a mixture, and she's our little sweetie. And, of course, the kids, they just terrorize her to pieces. And they have fun together. Oh, my goodness, do they ever have fun together. Here before too long, I'll start having some gatherings at the parsonage, and I'd like to have groups come into the parsonage so you can get to see the house and everything, and you'll get to meet all the family and all. And it might have been a while since you've been to the parsonage, and so I want to make sure you have the opportunity to get in there, and you'll probably hear Gracie. Okay. This is our son, Nathan. He is a dentist. Oh, by the way, Matthew, he works, he's retired Navy, and he works in a building. Actually, it's where they do shipping and stuff for the Navy, but he's no longer in the Navy, but he's retired. Now, Nathan, he's a dentist, and his practice is up in Elkhart, and we like to fish whenever we do get a chance to get out and around, but that's one of the times we went on Lake Erie. This is our daughter, Sarah. Again, she lives in Fort Wayne, and she's just a beautiful person, and, you know, God, you know, I know God's going to do some great things with her. I am convinced of that. And so be praying for Sarah. I would greatly appreciate it. And sometimes it can be hard. It can be hard. This is the baptism of Micah and Ellie. That's my former church. The people there on the far right hand side, that's my mom and dad, Don and Doris Martin, and of course Nathan, and that's Donna. That's my sister. I have a brother, Steve, but he wasn't able to be there that day, and her husband, Mark. And this is my father-in-law, John, and this was Ellie whenever, this was probably a year and a half or so better. But John is Susan's dad. Her mother is Janet, and she died last April unexpectedly. And so that's been kind of hard. For those of you who have just lost a parent, you know the struggle in that. And so we've kind of had some hard times with that. But this was Susan's mother and her father, who lives in Kentucky, down by Edwards, or it's Utica, down by Owensboro, Kentucky. Oh, and there's another picture of my grandkids. Imagine that. But it's so important to have relationships with one another and to share in those special times. This is friends of ours, Glenn and Sherry Yoder, from Warsaw, and we get together with them on occasion and have a blessed time, Jerry and Kathy. It's good to have friends, isn't it? And in fact, these are friends that we've made in a former church and just continue to be together. Some of the retreats that I've been on and like to go fishing and up into Michigan, and that's some of the salmon that we caught, and Jerry again, and there's Glenn. That was the biggest fish caught that week, but he was a monster. Those of you who have been out by the dunes, you probably know the lighthouses and all, but something that you might not be aware of is the porta-pots. This was a day about 85, 90 degrees in a porta-pot. And do you know you can lock a porta-pot from the outside? Did you know that? Just takes an ink pen is all it takes. That's what a guy looks like when he's been locked in a porta-pot for about 20 minutes. I had someone else pull the pin before. All right. But Jesus has really shown us what relationships are to be like and how we're to be open and honest and accepting of who we are with one another and really for who we're not. That we're truly to be the light of the world. People in vital relationships, we hold one another up. We try to make a difference in each other's lives. And we see this example in Jesus' life and in his ministry. Today's scripture reading was just about that. Jesus calling his disciples to follow him. Jesus beginning this new thing, this new relationship, this new journey with his disciples, and he accepts them just the way they are. Man, they're fishermen, they're tax collectors, they're probably a stonemason or a tanner or two, but Jesus just openly receives them, and he begins to travel through Galilee, preaching and teaching the good news about God's love and God's kingdom. And as he does so, Jesus, he begins to see need all around him. And so he begins to heal all of those who are suffering and those who are ill, those who are sick. And in other words, Jesus makes a difference in their lives. You see, that's what relationships is about, isn't it? Jesus making a difference, us making a difference in people's lives. And multitudes begin to follow Jesus. And it is here on this mountainside that Jesus looks out over the multitude and over his disciples, and he says that you are the light of the world. You are. Do you remember whenever your light was first lit? Do you remember that? Do you remember that time that your light was first lit? When Jesus became real to you. You remember that? Remember that time in your life that you became aware of his light and you wanted that light living in you? You remember that? Well, for me, it kind of started in a little Baptist church in Carbon, Indiana. I was just a teenager, and I heard that this church had some really cute girls there, and so I thought maybe I better attend there. Charlotte and Ray, they were two mothers of my very best friends. They told me all about these cute girls, and they kind of just dangled that carrot. And they even told me that they'd come and pick me up and take me to church. And I want to tell you, these ladies were great. You know, growing up, they were always encouraging us and encouraging me. They often talked about the love of Jesus, and they'd just do some really cool things for us kids. They'd always make sure we had cookies and stuff, and whenever we were camping out, they'd make sure that we had plenty of blankets and food and all. But both of these two different mothers, we'd often just hear them singing these beautiful songs of their faith. But you know, they made it their mission to get me into church, and it probably had nothing to do with them thinking I was a heathen influencing their boys. But us boys, we were always getting into something. But a long story short, my experience in that little Baptist church, it was a great one. With the people, with the things that we did in youth group, with the things that I learned about Jesus. But at the same time, that church was also one of those hellfire and brimstone churches. You ever been there? Kind of, you know, you better get saved tonight before Jesus comes, because if you don't, you're going to be the one flickering in the flame. Oh, yeah. And so I heard very, very little about grace, but I heard a whole lot about fire and about hell. And it didn't take too long as a young teenager to give my life to not wanting to burn in the flame. Kind of scared the heaven right out of me, right into me, should I say. And so that's where I began my faith. And since fear is never a good way for any kind of a lasting relationship, it wasn't long before I was out of that church and just doing the same things I was doing before I went to that church. But then Susan came into my life. It's something about girls in church. I don't know. But Susan and I, we started dating, like I said, in high school. And she attended the Methodist Church in Lena, just a little church, only about 60 people. And so I went out there to be with her. And I want to tell you, that was a weird church. It really was. The pastor, he wore this long robe thing, and he had this little white thing on his neck. And the kids who came up to light candles, they wore these little white robes. And I thought, oh my goodness, am I in a Catholic church? I had to go back outside and just read the sign, and it said Methodist. But one of the biggest differences of this church, besides them not singing "Just as I Am" every Sunday, is that I heard for the very first time that God loved me. I heard that God loved me. That God loved me who, for who I am, warts and all, without any kind of being different. God loved me just like I am right now. And that God wanted me to be in a relationship with Him, that God wanted to be my best friend, that He desired me. And it didn't matter anything that I'd ever done, that God's grace covered over everything that a person could do or not do. And I want to tell you, that resonated in my soul. And it wasn't long before I truly began my walk with Jesus. And I prayed that Jesus would be my light, that He would be my very best friend, and that He would be the Lord of my life. And I want to tell you, my life changed from that point. Do you remember when your lamp was lit? Do you remember that time in your life that Jesus became real to you? I want you to think about that. Chances are it was because of someone being His light in your life. For me, it was glimpses of that light growing up. It was Pastor Bill, my building trades instructor, shining grace and compassion upon Randy. It was Charlotte and Ray singing those songs of faith and just being kind and compassionate and open to us kids growing up. It was those wonderful people at that little Baptist church who were concerned about my soul. And those beautiful people at the Lena Church. Pastor Story. Pastor Jewel DeWeese, who really showed me the face of God and showed me God's love, His grace, and His desire to be in relationship with me. Well, this morning, as you think about your faith journey and the people important to you in that journey who showed Christ's light to you to help you to know the love of Jesus Christ in your life, I want to ask you this question. Who do you know today? Who in your life do you know today who's walking in darkness? Who do you know today that really needs Jesus to become real to them? If you don't know anyone, then your world's way too small. You hear? Who do you know today who needs to hear the message that God loves them, that God desires them, and above everything else, that God just wants this wonderful, amazing, vital relationship with them? You see, Jesus said that you, Jesus said that I am that light in this world. You are that light of the world. So let your light shine. Be like that city on a hill, never hiding that light. Church, we're always to bring that light to our relationships and to bring that light to those who live in this community and in the community around us throughout our world. And you really don't need to know all kinds of great theological terms or be schooled in evangelism or be on the prayer committee or anything to shine that light. All you have to be is a disciple. Person who loves Jesus. A person who allow that love to just shine out from your life. And I know sometimes that's hard to share. It's hard to share that light, especially if we've never done that sort of thing. It's hard to get over that hump. Sometimes we're afraid to share because we're afraid of rejection. We're afraid of being looked at as one of those crazy people. Right? Yeah. But I really think Jesus wants us to be ourselves. You have your story. I have my story. That's what I mean by being ourselves. Just allowing that love of Jesus to shine out of us. And a part of that shining is being able to share our story of how Jesus became real to us. And what that means for me today. Tonight, whenever we come together for our evening service, after our church dinner, we're going to have church after church dinner, okay? So please come, all right? What I'd like for us to do is I'd like for us to share some of our lamp stories together with one another. I'd like to hear some of your stories of when Jesus became real to you. I've shared with you how Jesus became real to me. But I want to hear as we get to know each other, some of your stories. I want us to just take some time to, you know, getting to know each other and to openly share with one another how Jesus became real to us and what that means for you today. And I know that we won't have time for everyone to share tonight, but I'd like for you to be thinking about that, because that's probably something I'm going to ask you whenever we do meet one-on-one. But it's important to be able to share, because you may never have had that opportunity to freely be able to do so. And what a better place than with the people who love you is to be able to get over that hump of sharing how Jesus became real to you. So today, take some time, reflect upon your faith journey and those dear people to you, and how they shine that light of Christ upon your life so that you can see God's goodness. And lastly, I'd like for you to also spend some time in prayer today and this week and this month, thinking about and praying for that person that you know who's walking in darkness. There are people you know in your life who really aren't there with Jesus, who need so very much to come into Christ's light, who really needs to know that Jesus loves them and that Jesus wants to be their very best friend. The only way they're going to hear that is for that light of Christ to shine out of you. It's not just going to come just by watching. It never did in the Scriptures. It was always spoken. It was shown. But it was also always spoken. So let that light of Christ shine out of you as we share our faith stories and as we pray for one another, and especially as we lift up those who do not know yet that love that burns in us so it can burn in them. Let's pray. Loving Father, we thank you for the light that you shine in our lives, for the filling of your Holy Spirit that enables us and empowers us and that goes before us to anyone who we might speak to, that we are not alone, that you are with us, and that your love goes before, that prevenient grace goes before. So Lord, as we give thanks today for the journey that you have given us and that you are allowing us to walk with you on today, help bring us to remembrance of when our lamp was lit and when you became real to us. And help us, God, to help others find you and to experience you so that they too can experience you as being real in their life, as Jesus, as you, Lord, shine your light upon them. For this we ask and this we pray in your name, Jesus. Amen.